imagine having like 500,000 followers.
Right.
Right. But when you look closely, nobody is actually commenting.
Right.
Nobody is buying your product. There is literally zero real engagement. You immediately know they just bought fake followers.
Yeah, it's a total facade.
Exactly. There's no real community there at all. And it's wild because for a long time, that exact same illusion was basically how a lot of businesses approached their website's authority.
Oh, absolutely.
They treated the internet like a numbers game, you know, buying up these digital fake followers in the form of cheap backlinks just to trick search engines into thinking they were important.
Which is a strategy that, I mean, today is not just ineffective, but it's actively dangerous for a business.
Yeah.
The algorithm just isn't looking for fake followers anymore. It is looking for legitimate letters of recommendation, essentially.
Right. And so today, we are tearing down the illusion of old school link building. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one. It's such a crucial shift to understand.
It really is. So we are unpacking a comprehensive strategic guide today. It's focused on sustainable link building specifically for Orange County businesses. And we're looking strictly at the reality of the 2026 search landscape.
Yeah, which is very different from even just a few years ago.
Totally. Now, if you are listening to this, you likely already know the basics of what a backlink is.
Uh-huh.
But the mission of this deep dive is to show you exactly why modern authority is no longer about, you know, tricking algorithms.
Right.
We want to give you a completely practical, zero-slough blueprint for evaluating your own digital footprint right now.
Because the stakes are incredibly high in the 2026 search environment.
Huh.
Like, if you are still relying on manipulative shortcuts, you're basically building your house on sand.
Oh, yeah.
Search engines have evolved so much. The foundation of digital authority has to be relevance, reputation, and, well, actual usefulness.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because we really need to clear the air about what links actually mean today.
Absolutely.
The data in our research paints this very clear picture of a massive graveyard of old SEO tactics. We are talking about bulk directory submissions, paid link networks,
irrelevant guest posts, automated outreach, all of it.
Yeah, and these massive reciprocal link exchanges. It used to be a pure volume play, right? Like whoever had the most links won.
That was the old mandate, yes. Treat links as a commodity, you know, just buy them in bulk and watch your rankings climb. But you have to understand the mechanics of why that fails now.
Which is what, exactly?
Well, search engines in 2026, they don't just count links anymore. They use semantic analysis to weigh the context of every single connection.
Okay, so they're looking at the big picture.
Exactly. They're building a knowledge graph of trust. Google's updated spam policies, for instance, are really designed to detect patterns now.
Right.
So if your links are suddenly coming from entirely unrelated domains with zero topical overlap to your business, the algorithm flags it instantly.
It's not just about the algorithm catching you either. These shortcuts make a brand look incredibly careless to actual humans.
Mm. Oh, totally.
Like imagine a prospective client searching for your Orange County accounting firm, and they find your name listed on some completely irrelevant thin, spammy blog about, I don't know, cheap watches.
Right, yeah.
It destroys your credibility before you even get a chance to pitch them.
Exactly. You are risking your actual brand reputation, not just your search ranking. You want to earn credible signals that support your local and topical authority in a very specific geographic area.
But let me push back on this for a second. If paid networks are dead and blasting out automated outreach emails to 1,000 strangers is heavily penalized.
It is, yeah.
Then aren't businesses just sitting around waiting and hoping someone randomly notices them? I mean, that sounds painfully slow.
Yeah.
And, like, incredibly passive.
I get that. But it only sounds passive if you assume the only alternative to buying links is doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Action is absolutely required, but that action must be rooted in legitimacy. You see, a link is strongest when it comes from an actual relationship, or a useful resource, or a credible editorial mention.
So it's about real connections.
Right. The algorithm is looking for connections that would still make total sense even if search engines didn't exist.
Okay, let's talk about that legitimacy then.
Yeah.
If we aren't buying them, the research points squarely at offline community ties.
Yes, exactly.
But wait, if I ask a local vendor for a link on their website, because we do business together, isn't that just a link exchange? I thought you just said those get penalized. Like, how does the algorithm know the difference?
That is a crucial distinction. Okay, so a manipulative link exchange is a transactional arrangement with a complete stranger.
Like, you link to my accounting firm, I link to your pet store.
Exactly. There is zero real-world connection there. But if your accounting firm handles the books for a local manufacturing plant and they list you on their website as a trusted local partner,
Oh, I see.
yeah, that is a digital reflection of real business activity. The algorithm can verify the geographic proximity and the professional relationship.
Which means most local Orange County businesses are sitting on a gold mine of connections, and they probably don't even know it.
What's truly fascinating here is that the most powerful link opportunities usually require zero cold outreach. You just have to map the relationships you already have.
I was reading this part of the guide and thinking, it's basically a digital audit of your real-world Rolodex.
That's a great way to put it.
It's like realizing your business already has this massive network of friends, but you just forgot to ask them to vouch for you at the party. You're already doing the offline work.
Exactly. You just have to ask the right questions about your daily
Like
operations.
what?
Well, like which chambers of commerce or business associations do you belong to?
Right.
If you sponsor a local Orange County 5K run or, say, a youth sports team, do they have a sponsor page? Which of your clients publish case studies where they could mention the work you did for them? Which local schools or nonprofits do you partner with?
So it's really about claiming the digital credit for the real-world work you are already executing anyway.
Yes.
And that makes sense because local competition in places like Orange County is fierce. Customers expect professional digital experiences. So if you're heavily involved in the local community offline, but your digital profile is a ghost town,
It's a huge red
yeah,
flag.
there's a massive disconnect.
Precisely. And, while relationship-based link building is certainly slower and it requires more actual conversation than just clicking buy on a sketchy link network,
Right.
it is vastly safer and much more durable. You are basically building an unshakable foundation.
Okay, so tapping into local partners and the real-world Rolodex makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But there's a ceiling there, right?
Sure.
You only have so many vendors and local charities you sponsor. Eventually, you have to get links from people who have literally never heard of you. So how do you get a link from a local newspaper or an industry blog that doesn't know you exist?
And this is where we move into the realm of content assets and digital PR. You have to transition from leveraging who you know to leveraging what you know.
Ah, okay. And the research makes a really interesting point here that I think trips up a lot of marketers.
Oh, definitely.
People always want to build links directly to their main service pages, like their Hire Us for Plumbing in Orange County page.
Yeah.
But the data shows those pages rarely earn organic links.
It's a hard truth for a lot of businesses to swallow. I mean, you might have the most beautifully designed, highly converting service page in California, but its primary purpose is a sales pitch.
Right, it's there to sell.
Exactly. And other credible websites are not going to organically link to your sales pitch. They want to link to references.
So what actually works then?
Well, link-worthy assets have to do a specific job for the user. They need to answer questions, provide proprietary data, simplify a complex decision, or specifically help a local audience.
Give me some examples of that.
We are talking about interactive calculators, local market summaries, safety guides, compliance explainers, or original research you've actually conducted within your industry.
And the magic ingredient here really seems to be local specificity. Because a general cybersecurity checklist is fine. It's useful,
Yeah,
sure.
it's fun.
But it's competing with every other massive tech company's cybersecurity checklist on the internet.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture of 2026 search mechanics, local specificity is a superpower. A general checklist just gets lost in the noise.
Totally.
But what if you publish a cybersecurity compliance checklist tailored specifically for Orange County healthcare offices or for local commercial real estate firms?
Suddenly, you aren't competing with the whole internet. You are the only authoritative voice for that specific niche in that specific zip code.
That specificity gives your local partners, local publications, and industry peers an actual reason to cite your asset. It proves you understand their exact context, and that ties directly into how local businesses should approach digital PR.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. When people hear PR, they usually imagine massive company announcements.
Right, like press releases.
Yeah, like we just hired a new VP, or we are opening a second location. Why would a local publication or a community blog care about a niche checklist?
And that is exactly where most local businesses get it entirely wrong. They mistake noise for
Oh,
relevance.
I like that. Noise versus relevance.
Yeah. A local business journal does not care that you hired a new VP. But let's say a new commercial zoning law passes in Orange County.
Okay.
If your commercial real estate firm publishes a clear, easy-to-read guide on how that specific law impacts local retail spaces over the next 5 years, suddenly the local news outlets want to link to your guide.
Because you are providing credible commentary on industry changes.
Exactly. It's about participating in community conversations with useful data, rather than just blasting out self-serving press releases. You become a resource, and resources naturally attract links.
That makes total sense. Okay, so let's say we are doing everything right on the front end. We've mapped our real-world relationships. We are creating highly specific local content. We are part of the community conversation.
Sounds like a great setup.
Right, but what happens when the actual technical execution of those links is a mess? What if we get the great links, but the digital setup is just clumsy?
This is a critical area. It is the anatomy of a healthy link profile, because if the digital setup looks overly engineered by an outdated SEO agency, it completely undermines all the hard work you just did.
Because the algorithm spots the manipulation.
Exactly.
So the biggest red flag in the research is something called anchor text, which is the actual clickable text of the link. If it's over-optimized, it looks totally artificial to search engines.
Right. Just think about how real human beings link to things naturally on the internet. Sometimes they use the brand name. Sometimes they just paste the raw URL into a sentence. Sometimes they say, click here to read the local report.
So what does this all mean in practice? If every single person who introduces you at an in-person networking event says, verbatim, here is John, the best plumber in Orange County, instead of just saying your name, people are going to think you're paying them to say it.
Right.
It's totally unnatural.
Yeah, that is a perfect analogy. That is exactly how a search engine bot views a backlink profile where every single piece of anchor text is a heavy commercial keyword.
Wow.
A healthy, natural profile varies. It has branded anchors, topical anchors, and conversational references. And, you know, this applies to your internal links, too, the links connecting pages on your own website. They need to use helpful editorial context, not forced keyword stuffing.
The research also emphasizes measuring quality over quantity. Like, a small handful of highly relevant local links will completely beat out hundreds of weak, irrelevant ones.
Absolutely.
But how do we actually measure that quality without getting lost in the weeds?
Well, you track three main things: domain quality, local relevance, and referral traffic. And in 2026, domain quality isn't just some arbitrary score from a third-party tool.
Where is it then?
It's a measure of whether the referring website actually gets real human traffic itself and possesses topical authority in your industry. A link from a site nobody visits is effectively worthless.
Right. And referral traffic means the link is actually driving real human beings to your site, which leads to conversions.
Exactly. Reporting should never celebrate volume alone. If an agency says, we built you 50 links this month, but those links don't strengthen your authority or produce actual business value, they are just vanity metrics.
And this brings up something that genuinely surprised me in the research. Mm-hmm. They talk about this concept of hidden friction.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens when all that new traffic we just earned hits a website that is held together by digital duct tape?
This is where we have an important aha moment about how search engines work today. You have to remember that Google's algorithm is essentially a simulated user. It crawls your site exactly how a human would.
Okay, so if the internal setup is weak, the bot feels it.
Precisely. Warning signs usually appear internally before they become a major public ranking problem.
Like what kind of signs?
If your employees are relying on manual workarounds, if pages are loading incredibly slowly because of poor vendor management, or if you have a bunch of broken links, that operational friction becomes algorithmic friction.
Wow.
If your internal team finds a tool frustrating to use, Google's bot is going to hit that same friction and downgrade your site's authority, no matter how many great external links you have.
Which totally shifts this from an SEO problem to a structural business problem.
Exactly.
If a weak digital setup creates operational risk, fixing it isn't just a task for the IT guy in the basement anymore.
Hmm.
Link building and digital authority in general is a cross-departmental issue.
Absolutely. It requires internal alignment. A weak foundational setup might stay hidden on a quiet Tuesday, but it becomes glaringly visible during a server outage, a security event, or a massive marketing push.
So how do you actually get that alignment? Because usually, marketing, operations, and leadership are speaking totally different languages.
Hmm. The fastest way to get alignment is to stop talking about anchor text or link equity and start translating technical issues into business language.
Right. If you walk into a boardroom and tell the CEO, our anchor text is over-optimized and our internal linking structure is weak, their eyes are going to glaze over.
Yeah, they don't care.
They probably don't care at all. But if you tell them, our current digital setup exposes us to a penalty that could wipe out 40% of our online leads and directly impact revenue, you instantly have their attention.
Exactly. You frame it around revenue risk, customer trust, compliance, and delivery speed. And once you have their attention, you need a simple, rigid decision structure. Who owns the SEO project? Who approves the budget? Who tests the outcome?
Because if you don't define those roles clearly, the project just stalls out. Everyone assumes someone else is handling it.
Yes. And regarding budget, the smartest strategy is to separate urgent risk reduction, like, you know, fixing broken systems that are actively hurting your revenue, from strategic enhancements like building those new interactive calculators we talked about.
Okay, that makes sense.
You use actual evidence like server logs and analytics to prioritize the budget. You don't just throw money at whatever the loudest, most panicked problem of the week happens to be.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure, go for it.
The strategic guide heavily emphasizes documentation, operating notes, vendor checklists, owner lists.
Mm-hmm.
When you say things like decision structure and documentation,
mm-hmm.
I can literally hear the collective groan of everyone listening.
Yeah.
How do you keep this from turning into a massive corporate bottleneck where everyone's just filling out forms and nothing actually gets done?
It is a very valid concern. Bureaucracy is the enemy of agility. The key is keeping the scorecard incredibly simple, especially in the first phase. You do not need a 50-page manual that no one will ever read.
Good.
You just use 3 to 5 highly meaningful metrics. Like, are we seeing fewer site outages? Are page response times faster? Is the referral traffic from our local partners actually increasing? Is the lead quality improving? You only expand the reporting when more detail is strictly necessary to solve a specific problem.
So keep it practical, not bloated.
Exactly. The ultimate goal of this documentation isn't to create red tape. The goal is making the business capable of repeating successful processes even when market conditions change.
Right.
If your lead SEO person leaves the company tomorrow, you shouldn't be relying entirely on their memory to keep the whole digital strategy afloat. You are building a resilient system, not a silo.
That makes a lot of sense.
Hmm.
All right, we've covered a massive amount of ground here. We've gone through the philosophy of modern authority, mapping offline relationships, creating local content, ensuring technical health, and getting management aligned.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. So let's distill all of this into the immediate 30-day action plan for leadership. Where does someone actually start tomorrow morning?
Day one starts with a comprehensive link audit. You cannot fix what you do not understand. You need to identify your existing backlinks. Look for lost links that you can reclaim, weak directory listings that need to be cleaned up.
And places where your brand is mentioned in the local press, but not actually linked to your site, right?
Yes, exactly.
And the research also suggests looking closely at your competitors' patterns during this audit.
Yes, but it is vital that you don't just copy them blindly. You want to reverse engineer the community they belong to. Are they getting links from a specific local business association you haven't joined? Are they sponsoring regional events? You are looking for relationship gaps, not just link gaps.
Okay, so from there, you set up a short action plan, one owner, one timeline, one review meeting. Keep it relentlessly focused.
Right.
But here's where I get a little skeptical again. The guide suggests creating just 1 or 2 highly linkable assets per quarter and then actively promoting them through your partners and social channels. Wait, in a hyper-competitive market like Orange County, 1 asset every 3 months. That sounds incredibly slow. Is that really enough?
This raises an important question because the modern marketer's instinct is always to produce more. We are addicted to volume.
Totally.
But yes, 1 or 2 exceptionally high-quality assets per quarter is enough. Why? Because sustainable link building is cumulative. It works best when authority is built steadily and consistently over multiple quarters.
It's the quality over quantity argument again, but applied to content creation.
Precisely. Think about the mechanics. If you spend an entire quarter researching, designing, and polishing one incredible, highly specific local market summary,
okay,
and then you spend the next 2 months leveraging your real-world relationships to get that summary cited by local news, chambers of commerce, and industry partners.
Right, I see where this is going.
Yeah, that single asset will generate far more durable authority than 20 rushed generic blog posts that nobody ever reads or links to. It's about creating a repeatable management habit rather than a frantic, exhausting sprint.
And then, at the end of that first month, you do the 30-day review. You look at the cold, hard evidence.
Yes.
You compare the outcomes against the original baseline you established in your audit. You aren't judging the campaign against subjective impressions or vibes. You produce a short written record of the decisions made, the systems changed, and the risks accepted.
Exactly. And based on that actual evidence, you decide whether to expand the program, pause, or adjust the strategy. It takes the guesswork entirely out of digital growth. You are treating your digital authority with the exact same rigor you apply to your operational finances.
So to bring it all together, for you listening right now, whether you are running an Orange County business or navigating any competitive market in 2026, sustainable link building is no longer a dark art.
Not at all.
It is an exercise in genuine community relationship building. It requires high value, locally specific content creation, rigorous operational alignment, and above all, patience.
Yeah, patience is key.
It is about practical measurement and completely avoiding those outdated manipulative shortcuts that treat authority like a cheap commodity.
Ultimately, it is about ensuring your online presence is a true reflection of your offline business value.
Exactly. Which leaves you with one final thought to ponder as you look at your own digital strategy today. We've established that your digital link profile is truly just a reflection of your real-world business activity.
Right.
So take a hard look at your current links tomorrow morning. If they are spammy, disjointed, and purchased from random, irrelevant corners of the internet, what does that imply about the actual offline health and authenticity of your professional network? Are you a valued, active part of your local business community, or are you just a digital ghost trying to buy friends?